Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Shattered Silence, Stories of Recovery and Resilience. My name is Jory, and today we're actually with one of our listeners, Leah. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's just start. I guess, you know, you reached out to us after listening to the podcast and listening to my episode, just because you have some similarities.
Yeah, I do. I really wanted to... I thought your episode really resonated with me and your strength to just talk about what you had been through, especially because unfortunately there is such a stigma around these things, and I think it's important to break them down when we can, and it comes from people that have gone through this that are going to do it. You know, you and I are going to break it down.
Right.
And so it's kind of where I... felt like I wanted to speak more about things I had gone through, because I had not talking about them and kind of being reserved with it wasn't helping me, and it definitely wasn't helping anyone else. So yeah, like you said, I had gone through a very similar experience, not very similar but similar
in grief terms.
At a young age, at when I was 9, my father passed away from an accidental overdose, which is crazy to talk about because I honestly had never talked about it. Even when I, even now, a lot of my friends, a lot of my close friends probably don't know that because they're not going to ask me about it, and I'm not going to just outwardly say that.
Right. And I feel like, I mean, for me, I know that my situation is more recent, you know, but I feel like as, like, time goes on, you're like, I just don't want to, like, just spark up that conversation right away with people that, you know.
Yeah, you don't. And it's so hard to, but it's such a part of your life. So you feel like, oh, I do want to speak about it, you know, because it's keeping their memory alive, honoring them. And unfortunately, you don't really get the chance to speak about it. And maybe... in talking about it, maybe we can help people know that it's okay to ask people about these things, because I think it's important for them. It helps in the grieving process when people, because not only are you losing someone, it's like you're losing the ability to talk about it, because people don't want to talk. Like, oh, I don't want to, I don't want to say something. I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to bring it up. So it's like, not only is that person passed, it's like you don't ever speak about them again. So it's like kind of like a second death.
Yeah. Because so, you kind of like, I mean, I don't know, as for like speaking from my personal experience, it's like, you know, I don't know. You just feel like every, like, I don't know, for me, I just feel like everyone should know, you know, I want everyone to know so that I don't have to sit and like we're talking about, like, just go and explain it and then like make people feel weird about it, or they don't know what to say to you and they don't know how to respond. And I mean, everyone's different, but that's why I feel like talking about it, whether people have gone through grief or not, even from like a supportive, like, role, like as a friend or anyone, like, to know that, like, hey, we're okay with you asking about this. You know what I mean? It's just a hard, thing in general.
It is.
So talk about a little bit more about like when you were younger, and your dad, right?
So my dad, he passed away of an accidental overdose when I was 9. And he, the way he was a great, great father. And one of the reasons I never talked about it was because I felt like, people are like, oh, how did he die? I'm like, oh, it was an overdose. Like, the immediate, like, judgment and, like, oh, your dad was a drug addict. And I just felt like I was doing such a, like, disservice saying it, because I was like, okay, that's not who he was. Like, I, you know, and he was an amazing, amazing father. He was an very involved, very hands-on, loving, really funny, goofy guy. And he, and one of the reasons it kind of happened the way it did, I think, was because he, so he, what had happened was he had broken his leg deep sea fishing one summer. And he had come back, he broken it really bad. And, you know, the doctors, it's a very similar story, had prescribed him pain pills. And he was in a lot of pain, and they prescribed more pain pills, and he eventually, the doctors had stopped prescribing them, and shortly after that, so from when he broke his leg to when he passed was summer to April. So not very long.
Yeah, less than a year.
Yeah. And so he, the doctors had stopped prescribing them, and he started getting them just any way he could, you know, from people he knew, just to manage at that point. Mm-hmm. And the first time he overdosed was about a month before he actually passed. And he overdosed at work, and he came home, and he didn't tell us. He didn't know. He didn't tell my mom. And the only way she found out was about a couple weeks later. She had got the hospital bill. One of his coworkers had found him at work and taken him to the hospital.
Oh man!
And so that's when, and at this point, he had kind of talked about like wanting help. He had been trying. Mm-hmm. He had been trying to stop and trying to get help in the way that he wanted. You know, he didn't want to go into a program because he felt like he had his career and his young children. And so after this, my mom said that he had kind of changed. It seemed that he kind of knew that he wasn't going to win this battle, that he was really somber. He thought he was going to lose this battle. You know, he had kind of given up. And about a month after that, he had gone to work on a Friday, and he didn't come home, which wasn't abnormal. He owned his own business, so there was times when he would, like, stay at the office. Mm-hmm. And so Saturday, we had called a couple times, and he didn't answer. The phone was, like, just, like, off the hook, like, I can't remember if it just, like, didn't ring or whatever it did back in the 90s when it was off the hook. And we're like, oh, that's strange, you know. And the next day, we still hadn't heard from him. He had, and my grandma had called, my dad's stepmom, called the house, and she was like, you know, can I talk to your mom? And I was like, yeah, sure. And at that point, a lot of my grandma was kind of arguing with my mom and dad about this, because my mom and dad were arguing, and it's just like a family thing. And I remember my mom getting on the phone and just like crying. She just started breaking down crying, and I had kind of like stepped back into my room because I was like, and I remember her, like, sitting on the floor just being kind of like, oh, no, where's he at? Where is he? Like, no, tell me where he is. Where is he at? And I remember thinking, like, oh, like, where is he? He's in trouble, you know, like, whatever's going on. And at this point, I remember the doorbell rang, and I walked in and answered the door, and it was two police officers. And they're like, oh, we need to speak to your mom. And I went and got my mom. And she was crying, and she went to the door, and she was, like, pretty much telling them the same thing. I remember going back in my room, not really hearing anything other than her, like, saying, like, oh, where is he? I want to see him. Where is he? And then I remember her friends started coming over, and I remember one of them came over, and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. And they're, like, picking me up and holding me, and they were like, oh, they don't know yet. And I was kind of, so it was very, like, confusing couple of days. And then what our pastor had ended up coming over, and he was the one that ended up telling me. And I remember just crying, you know, but not really understanding at all. Like, I was like, oh, that's, I remember being really sad, but not understanding, like, okay, well, what is that? Like, I remember thinking too, like, okay, but where is he?
You know, like, do you remember, like, what he said? Like, how did he tell you?
He was like, your dad, he had, like, taken me into, like, the back den of our house. Because at this point, there's a lot of people at our house, family and friends. And he was like, he just set me down. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was like, you know, your dad passed away. He died. He's not going to come home. And I was just crying. And but I also remember being like, okay, but when's he coming home? You know,
yeah, like. Yeah, I mean, you're young, and you're just like, you don't really understand fully yet, you know?
And that, I mean, those few days were, it was rough. It was a really, really, really rough time. And it's just crazy to think about now. You don't talk about it.
Yeah, when you don't talk about it for a long time, because I just feel like me kind of like looking at your face, I can hear, like, see you kind of like remembering, you know? Yeah. And it really resonates with me because I remember, like, I feel like that still when I talk about my friend Ashley, who died when I was 10. Yeah. And I just remember, like, all those details. And, yeah, you don't talk about that that often. And so when you talk about it and you, like, go back and think about that trauma, it's like, it kind of does stop you in your tracks a little bit. You're like, okay, wow, yeah, that was a lot. It was very emotional. So it kind of takes you back. And sorry, I'm getting emotional with you.
No, yeah. It's okay.
We have a message from our sponsors, Aspire Counseling Services. We just want to remind everyone that seeking treatment should never be stigmatized. Aspire specializes in providing support and treatment for both teens and adults with mental health and substance use disorders, recognizing that these conditions often do coexist. They are an amazing resource, and you can get started by texting or calling the number 888-585-7373 to enroll at any time. So then after, you know, you find out this news and you are kind of going through it, trying to make sense of it all. How was your mom during that time?
It was really hard for her. It was really hard. And as a mom now, like, I don't know how she did it. And I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine the pain.
And then I'm over here, like, I couldn't imagine the pain of losing your dad at that age either.
Yeah. You know?
They're just completely different things, but it's, like, regardless, like, gut-wrenching.
And the now I look back, I'm like, the strength she must have had.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm in awe of her now.
Mm-hmm.
And the first couple of months were really hard. I remember, like, lots of crying. She would, I was very sad, but I knew that I would see her cry a lot, and I think that her crying even probably affected me more than, like, him being gone, because I was just like, oh, she's so sad, you know? And
did you end up going to counseling or anything?
I did.
When you were young?
I did, for a little bit, a couple months, because, you know, back then it wasn't really like it is now.
Yeah,
it's mental health
and
those type of things, and even, like, I remember I went to, like, a small school on, like, the small side of town.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was one of the, if not the only kid in my school that something like this had happened to,
mm-hmm.
you know. So even my teachers and things didn't know exactly how to, like, help.
Your teacher, and then, like, when you do go back to school, it's, like, all, like, the kids know.
Yeah.
And so then they're treating you different, obviously. And then that's, like, I feel like a whole different thing, too. Because I remember going back to school after Ashley died. Same thing. All the kids wanted to be around me. And they all knew. And they knew what I had gone through. But, you know, that we're all 10 years old. So, you know.
They can't relate to you.
Yeah, they have no idea. And, you know, they've probably never even heard of something so tragic.
Yes.
You know? And even for a teacher, too, like, to help comfort a young child, you know, they don't know how.
Yeah, and like you said, like, that's, I remember coming back and, like you said, all the kids are like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm so happy to see you,
mm-hmm.
but, like, they're not understanding.
Right.
And they can't
really,
and at that point, I felt like, I don't know how you, but, like, different. I felt different.
100%. You're, like, feel like you're sticking out like a sore thumb, too.
Yeah.
You're like, man, everyone's looking at me, everyone knows, and I'm just sad. I just want to be sad, you know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a really, really weird feeling to be back at school.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that. I remember it being so weird.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember, like, wanting, as I grew older, like, I was like, I don't want to be different anymore. Like, I want to go back to, I remember this, a boy, and he was so nice. You know, he's just like, I remember one day crying at school and being like, oh, I miss my dad. And he was like, I know, I miss my parents when I'm at school, too. And I was like, and I kind of had this idea, like, oh, he doesn't get it. And it was like, oh, he's not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and then I was like, oh, they're not going to get it. They don't get it.
Right.
And
so
I just remember it's kind of like the innocence of childhood is kind of like pulled away.
Yes. 100%, because I do also, that's a good point, because I remember being young, and I remember hearing that, like, from my counselor. Mm-hmm. It was like, man, she just is so mature for her age. But mm-hmm. it's like, well, I mean, I witnessed something, you know, tragic. And, yeah, it does. It really just makes you kind of grow up at that young age, you mm-hmm. know. You just, I mean, you're kind of just get slapped in the face with some, like, reality a little bit. And you're like, whoa, like, something like this can happen.
It does happen. And you're like, oh, especially all your friends are like, oh, no, that doesn't happen. And you're like,
right.
You're like, no, I know it happens.
Yeah.
And
yeah, exactly.
So can you talk a little bit more about, like, counseling, though? Because we kind of touched on it a little bit. But, like, as a kid, did you go see, like, your school counselor?
I
did go see.
I remember my mom asking the school, because this boy... I remember this very vividly still. This boy, kids are mean, first of all. I'm not going to say this is an abnormally mean child, but I remember we were just teasing each other, and I was like, oh, like, you don't run fast, you know, like, kid things. And he's like, yeah, well, your dad died. And I remember just, like, crying, immediate crying. And, like, my mom happened to be on campus that day, and I just ran to her, and, she was like, I remember taking me to the office and being like, I need to get Leah help. Like, is there a counselor here? And at that time, I don't even think they had, like, it was like one counselor for the district.
Yes,
you know?
It was. Yeah.
So they were like, oh, okay, well, we don't have anyone here. And, but then I did meet with the counselor, not even the counselor. I think it was a school psychologist, because I don't mm-hmm. think at elementary schools they had those.
Yeah.
And so we had, like, very brief conversations at the school. Mm-hmm. And I think they had told her, like, maybe put her in therapy, like, mm-hmm. Outside of school. And I did go to therapy, and I felt it helpful in the most, like, that this person knew what I was going through in a very mm-hmm. small sense. You know, like, mm-hmm. they would say things like, oh, do you feel this way? And I'm like, wow, yeah, I do feel that way. You know, like, mm-hmm. how do you know that, you know?
Yeah, just validating your feelings as a kid, yeah.
When no one else really was. But I didn't go very long because I didn't like it. I remember, like, mm-hmm. her, because I had tried to, like, come up with in my mind, like, that didn't happen. You're not different. Like, you're just like every other kid. Mm-hmm. And I think going to therapy was kind of like shattering that illusion that I had created.
Yeah, you still felt different.
Yeah. And so I would go and I would be like, I don't want to go. Like, I want to stay here. You know, I don't want to go mm-hmm. to that. So it did help, but it also, like, made me feel really different, which I was struggling with.
And it's
already.
Hard as a kid, too. I mean, you're talking with a random adult. You're already, like, I feel like kids are already shy. They don't even want to talk to, like, when an adult says hello to them. It's like, okay, I don't even want to say hi to you. I'm shy, you know, or whatever, but let alone talk about all your feelings.
Yeah, and I remember being like, this person's old. Like, that's what I just kept with thinking, like, they don't know. Like, they're old. Like, so that's, I mean, I did enjoy, I would say it helped me in the validation standpoint. Mm-hmm. In,
even if it's in a small sense, I feel
it
like,
was a small, know? Yeah, and it did help, I would say, like, it did really, truly help.
Right.
In the long run.
Yeah.
And so as you kind of continued, like, throughout your life, I guess, how did that affect you, like, not having your dad?
As I got older, I noticed, I mean, now that I look back, I can see it. But when I was, like, in high school, you know, I was really, I don't want to say I had a lot of shame, but I definitely didn't want to tell people how he died. Mm-hmm. I was ashamed. I was ashamed wrongfully. Right. I shouldn't have been.
Well, it's just about that stigma. Yes. I mean, especially in that time frame, you really didn't hear people talk about overdose. And at that time, too, I really do feel like it's like you said in the beginning, it's like you don't want people to look down on them, which is exactly how I felt about Kyle, too, even mm-hmm. though it is more commonly talked about now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, especially back then, I feel like, yeah, you don't want... Like, you want to talk about them in a good light. You don't want it to feel like you're shaming them and that you're ashamed of what they did. You know what I mean? Like, I totally get that.
It's such a small part of their legacy that you just are like, you know, when you say that, people are like, oh, that's who they are. You know, so you don't want to, like, even tell them that piece. Mm-hmm. I remember even, like, my mom having conversations with adults and, like, I would be listening. And I remember someone being like, oh, like, saying the most ignorant things, you know? They would be like, oh, do you think he went to hell because he was a drug addict?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, really, that's, really yeah. awful things. Mm-hmm. And I remember now, I'm an adult, I'm just like, it was just so, even back then, even now, the stigma back then was so bad. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just like, people think that way. People have these mm-hmm. thoughts and these ideas, which is like, it's very dehumanizing of the situation.
Right.
So I think that kind of was like why I was like, okay, I'm not going to tell people how he died.
Yeah.
Because I was like, first of all, he was a great father. And I was like, I see how you guys are reacting to these, to my mom. Like, I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but like the older I got, the more that conversation came up, because they're like, oh wait, your dad died? Like, that's mm-hmm. weird. You know, like, how did he die? And, I remember I would always like make up stories because mm-hmm. I didn't want to talk about it. I would always like, I would say like crazy things. Not always. At first I would just say like he had a heart attack or mm-hmm. he died in a car accident. But then I remember I said a car accident and they're like, oh, when? Like, my dad's a police officer. I was like, okay, don't use that lie anymore because they're going to
ask
know.
Questions.
But I remember my friend, she asked me, and I told her, one of my best friends, Kristen, and she's probably one of the only persons and the first people I had ever told.
Mm-hmm.
And she was kind of, she was real, I don't want to say endearing, but she was understanding. She was like, oh, like, that's, I'm sorry. And she understood why I didn't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember I would, like, make up a lie, and she would back me up, and she would be like, oh, yeah, that's true. Like, that is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, I remember one time some boy came up to me and I was like, oh, Kristen told me about your dad. And I was like, oh, yeah, thank you. And she's like, so he was like a scuba diver? He died in a scuba diving accident?
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, what?
And he was like, that's kind of an extreme story.
And he was like, she told me he died in his scuba diving accident. And I was like, oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, that's how it was.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, funny. Yeah. So I just was like, I never want to talk about it because I had a lot of guilt. And so, I mean, like I said earlier, I don't think a lot of my friends knew how he passed.
Right.
Other than Kristen and my husband, I really don't think anyone, you know?
Yeah. So how did your mom tell you right after he passed how he passed?
She didn't. She didn't tell me right after. She didn't tell me for a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that thing with that boy happened. And she had kind of realized, like, okay, this someone's going to tell her. And mm-hmm. it might as well, like, I need to tell her.
Yeah, it needs to be me, yeah.
And so I remember we were driving to school. And, like, our school days looked a lot, there was a lot of crying. Like, sometimes mm-hmm. I would cry in the morning, or she would cry in the morning. So I remember being, like, constantly late to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember driving to school, and she was crying, and she pulled over and told me. And my sister was in kindergarten at the time, so we went to school at different times.
Oh, okay.
So Aubrey wasn't in the car, and she didn't tell Aubrey for a while. Aubrey was younger.
Yeah.
And so Aubrey didn't know. I remember her telling me, and then she was just like, you know, your dad didn't die. I think they had told me originally, like, a heart condition or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his heart stopped is what they told
right.
me. And she was like, his heart did stop, but, like, it died. It stopped because of drugs, like a drug that he was taking.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, like, all right. Like, and at that point, I was like, it doesn't really, that I didn't really fully understand it. I was like, how he died, I don't really care because he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember being like, okay. And I also remember being like, okay, we're not going to talk about it in front of Aubrey. We're not going to talk about it in front of other people
mm-hmm.
because it kind of seems like people don't want to hear it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And I feel like, man. And in my own way, I can relate to that because I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to
exactly.
tell Brooks. I don't know when. I don't know how. I don't know what's the right way. Wrong. There's no right or wrong way, I don't think. But it's like, yeah, I just also want him to, like, have good memories of his dad, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just a really tough spot to be in.
It is.
Yeah.
Like you said, there is no right or wrong way.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I was just curious to know because also one of my friends – who was on an episode, he lost his dad at 2 months old, and it wasn't an overdose, but still, he didn't even know how his dad died until he's 16 years old.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and so that's why I just feel like, regardless, it's important to know.
It's
like,
important to know.
There is going to be a time, but I feel like, you know, I would tell him earlier than making him wait that long, but... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know until I'm there.
It feels like there's a right way and it feels like there's a wrong way, but I don't think there is.
Yeah, I don't think so. So then after your mom told you how your dad passed away, I mean, and I don't know timeline-wise, but how did your, like, family change after your dad passed away? How was it for you and, like, your sister? Do you just have one sister?
Yeah, okay. Just one younger sister. So it was just the three of us, you know, after that, and... I mean, it don't immediately change. My dad, he owned his own business, you know, which gave us a lot of freedom. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, you know, so my dad would take us out of school. We'd go camping, like, all the time. We had so much freedom, you know, as it comes with working for yourself. And when he passed, almost, like, things changed night and day. My mom... had to go back to work, which is hard to do when you have two kids.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
We lost our house because we couldn't afford it. So we had to move from our house to an apartment.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Do you remember, like, having to leave that house?
Yeah, I do. And it was a really traumatic, that in itself was a lot of trauma.
That's what I was going to assume, you know, because that's your space with your dad and you have to leave there now.
Yeah. And we had, I feel like the house, like, it was like our house, you know, it's your home. And every house I would say we lived after that did not feel like a home. Mm-hmm. It felt like a house that we lived in. So, like, we left. I remember I was such a brat after my dad. I was so angry, especially. I remember my mom, like, driving around looking for apartments, and I would just be she would take us, and we'd look, and I'd just be like, I hate it. You know, just, first thing I said, I was like, I hate it here. I don't want to be here. And I remember, like, a couple times refusing to get out of the car because I was, like, so angry. I was like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Mm-hmm. Not really realizing, like, okay, nobody wants to. This is a have to.
Right.
And I remember... we moved to these apartments, and I remember, like, the change in my mom went from, like, very happy-go-lucky, carefree, to I could see, like, stress and fears and anxieties in her. And I remember when we did move into an apartment, I just remember being like, oh, I hate it here. We only lived there for, like, 2 years, maybe, and she worked really hard. My mom worked so hard, and she bought a house. She bought a house 2 years later.
That's awesome.
And I didn't, now as an adult, I'm like, I don't know how you did that. Like, that's amazing. Like, you moved us into a house in a good neighborhood, like, kept us in our school districts.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, so she... I mean, that alone, I look back and I'm like, wow. As a mother now, too, I'm like, I can do that. Like, how do you do that? Like, how do you pick up the pieces and try to keep some normalcy?
No. I can cry.
No, I'll cry. Talk about my mom. Anytime I talk about my mom, I cry.
I can just so relate to that, you know?
No, and that's why you, my sister, shared your podcast with me, just because it was... I was
just
like,
hits close
close to home, and I was like, oh my gosh, I feel for her, and I'm like, the strength she must have. That's what I was like, to be a mom.
Yeah, just being a mom is hard. Being a mom, like, without anything else is just hard.
But, like, so, like, single moms, but not even single moms, like, widow moms, because single mom is, you still have support.
Yeah.
Much as you don't feel like it.
Right.
But as a widow, you don't.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
And not only do you not, you're grieving.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Yeah, because I just think about, like, those emotions, you know, thinking, like, man, like, I got to provide. I got to do it. I don't have a choice, you know? Like, I got to do it. And I got to like make money for Brooks and I, for us to be able to stay in this house that I don't want to leave, you know, and to, you know, just be the support for him too. I'm like, thankfully, yeah. And like, I'm like thankful that he was like young enough where it's like, you know, even if I'm crying and stuff, it's like, he just doesn't really fully understand, mm-hmm. but I would be like, anytime I'd rock him to sleep, I'd start crying and then I'd, you know, put him down in his bed and I'd go cry to myself because I didn't want to be sad around him and I didn't want him to see that and I didn't want him to see the change in me. And it's not until just like recently, these last couple months where I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm finally crawling out of this like dark hole, because it's like, you just feel like life is like such a blur after, you know, and it's just like, you're going through and you're doing it, but then you kind of like look back and like, even now, like looking back at 6 months ago, I'm like, man, I really was going through it and I was really working and I was doing this, you know, like I literally was just a little bit on autopilot, but I still did it, you know, it's just like, it's a lot. And so it's like, I can relate to you so much in so many different levels because I can relate to your mom, but I can relate to you, just like knowing the loss as a child and how much that affects you and your childhood and how you grow up. Mm-hmm. And it may have been a little bit different. I didn't lose my dad, but you know, then I think about your mom's perspective too. And just like, man, just having to pick up those pieces after he's gone, you know, and, mm-hmm. and just struggling in your own head about what do I tell people? How do I do this? I don't want them to think down on him. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, you're just constantly in your own head, like going back and forth, which is why therapy is so freaking important.
It's so important.
It helps you like gather your thoughts and like organize them. Cause yes. like your whole head is just such a jumbled mess. Like I just feel like the therapy is so important, but
I remember my mom telling me she went to therapy and she said it saved her. She said she had so many anxieties. I remember her telling me that she couldn't even, like, she was afraid to drive, you know, all these fears all of a sudden. Yeah. Just like, okay, what if I crash the car and the girls die, you know, like these things you never think would happen all of a sudden do.
Yes.
And so I remember her telling me she went to therapy, because as I got older I got more into therapy, and she had told me that she had gone to therapy and it's kind of saved her.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like talking about like new fears that come up, it's like I've always been pretty like fearless, I guess. Like, I don't know, I loved like roller coasters and like I always wanted to go skydiving and I always like all the like thriller stuff, you know. And at this point, I'm like, it was like not even that long ago, I was talking to my sister and I was like, yeah, I'm just like kind of afraid of heights now. And I've never been afraid of heights. I don't know why. And I was like, oh, that scares me. I have so much anxiety. Like, and I think about the worst possible thing that could happen, you know? And I'm like sitting there like, I just have so much anxiety. I don't like heights. And she's like, who are you? She's literally like, wait, who are you? Are you being serious? I'm like, I'm being dead serious. Like, all these little random things, and I'm just like, I don't know, it does change you, because you just, when the worst does happen to you, you think about what else.
Everything can happen.
Yes. Everything you're can just happen. Like, okay, the worst happened, and now this could probably happen right now. Like, even, like you said, driving. Sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, what if I, like, swerved and I went off the road and then I'm way down in that ditch. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why does your brain have to take you there? Because it does. All the time now.
Especially so young, you know, like, those aren't fears that, like, even people your age have, you know? Yeah. So it's so, people your age are like, oh, why do you think that? And it's like, I'll tell you why I think it, because I've been through it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. But, you know, it does, like you said, like, as an adult now and thinking back at your mom, you're just like, man, you were resilient. You did a great job at picking up those pieces. And, yeah, so do you want to talk more about your mom?
Yeah.
And, like, just how supportive she was.
She was amazing. And she, I would say the first year was rough, but she really rallied. My sister and I mean, wanted for nothing. You know, we had a really good life. She took us a really good childhood. We had a really great childhood after that. Like, when I think back on my childhood, I'm not like, oh, woe is me. Mm-hmm. You know, although it was filled with trauma and sadness. Right. My mom gave us a real sense of normalcy and completeness just in the three of us. And I think that was really important in growing up. Like, I know how hard she had to work for that. Right. And I know that people, especially now, like, and I think when I look back at her, I get so sad because, you know, she's just like, I wish I would have said thank you then, especially as a mom now. I'm like, I didn't know you loved me this much. I didn't know you cared that much. Yeah, I didn't know you could love someone. Yeah, I didn't know you could love someone that much.
So with your mom, like, giving you guys, you know, like, a great childhood, regardless of, like, the trauma that you guys went through, mm-hmm. I know that for me, I've had a lot of help from Kyle's family as well. Mm-hmm. So, like, how was, like, family life with your dad's family after that?
It was hard. It was really, I would say, like, you know, with this, like, sudden unexpected grief, it's, like, cataclysmic, you know, for everyone involved. And I can look back at it and be, like, less angry about it I'm still angry about it, but less angry about it. I know that before my dad passed, we were all very close. We were a very close family. I was very close with my dad's family. Mm-hmm. And after he passed, just the way he passed too, I think there was, what I learned coming up to it is that, like, there was kind of a lot of family trauma developing because I know that my mom was trying to get my dad help. Mm-hmm. And kind of other family members were like, oh, it's not that bad, you know, like, mm-hmm. you're just kind of like making problems out of nothing.
Mm-hmm. So just
brushing it off, yeah. You know, like, he's fine, you know, like, you're mm-hmm. just making all these problems. And my dad was very happy-go-lucky, very like, oh, it's fine. And so mm-hmm. when my mom was like, no, it's not fine, you know, like, I know it's not fine. Mm-hmm. I think his family was kind of like, you're creating problems where there's no problems. And then when he passed, it was kind of like, I know that they were upset in their grief. You know, like, everyone's mm-hmm. grieving their own ways. And grief will do awful, terrible things to people. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of, I don't want to say blamed my mom, mm-hmm. but maybe there was blame, like, you should have done more.
And I feel like, unfortunately, that just does kind of happen when it comes to overdose or even suicide.
Yeah, yes, it's especially. A lot of blame. A lot of people, like, if we would have known. And
yeah, we could have done something better. But it's like, I mean, it's so hard to say that.
Yeah, and it's so unfair to say those type of things. So after he passed, really, I didn't see any of them ever again after the funeral.
Oh, no.
We didn't see any of my grandparents. We didn't see, like, my uncles or anything. Oh, it kind of just came to a head, I think. And
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, that's tough.
It was tough. It was really tough.
On top of all the other stuff you're going through.
You lose a lot with grief, you know? You don't just mm-hmm. lose the person. You lose the connections. Mm-hmm. And, like, I will commend my mom again, like, for, I don't want to say she kept us out of it. Like, I was very much in the dark about those situations until I got older. Mm-hmm. And then, even then, she wouldn't tell me. It was like, it's like my grandma, my mom's mom telling me, because she's like, and I'm not going to keep this secret for them, you know? So she's telling me, and I'm like, I didn't even know any of this, you know? So mm-hmm. it was really hard. I know now, I can look back now and be like, I know that it affected them profoundly. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like the peace I'm giving them, you know, like, I understand the grace I'm giving them. Like, I understand mm-hmm. that really rocked your world losing him.
Right.
And so I'm giving a little bit of grace with that. But mm-hmm. it was really hard to lose that side of the family as well. And I think that's what happens when you have these shock, these things that are out of nowhere. No one expected it. People don't know how to react. People want to blame everyone, yeah. especially those closest to the to it, they're like, oh, this is your fault. Like, you should have done something. You should have, why didn't you tell more people? Why didn't you do this? And it's like, there's nothing to be done. There's yeah. no blame, you know.
Yeah. So I feel like with grief, it's, you're just trying to find answers.
Yeah.
It's really easy to, like we said, try to put the blame on other people. You can't, like, talk to your person.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just kind of ask them what was going through their head. Yeah, exactly. So you want all the answers. But sometimes people just don't accept it
mm-hmm.
well, you know. So going back to, like, you know, your grandparents kind of having that relationship fizzle out a little bit. It might have, I mean, I can't say what they were thinking, but, you know, it could have just been something where it was just so hard to see you guys
yeah.
because it was just such a memory of their son. But I also think about, like, my family members or just other people that I know that have gone through grief. It's like, you know, losing, say, a child.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you might have other kids too. And it's, while it's so, so, so hard on yourself, sometimes it's really hard to think about who else it's also hard
yeah.
on. And you're trying to be like, you're trying to just survive yourself.
Yes.
But, like, I feel like it's like there's other people that, I don't know. You know what I'm
saying?
No,
I know exactly. Yeah. It's like a bomb goes off and there's just like, there's the epicenter, but there's every ring outside
yes.
of it. You know, everyone
yes.
is affected immediately and, like, exponentially because it
right.
just is so big. I think about it like, yeah, it is, I feel like they tell you, I don't know if you went to any, like, grief counseling or
mm-hmm.
anything.
Yeah.
They're like, don't make decisions, you know, that first year.
Right, right.
And it's because you're not thinking right.
Yeah.
And, like, you say that and people are like, oh, yeah, they're not thinking right. But you're not, it's more than that. It's more than you're not thinking right. It's like you can't make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind is controlled by, like, your grief
mm-hmm.
and your anger and your sadness, and so when you're, like, trying to make decisions even about your family members, it's like they're gonna be the wrong decisions you're gonna make
right.
unless you're really, 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 like, in tune with yourself. Like, you're gonna make the wrong decisions, you're gonna end up causing more harm
mm-hmm.
than you think. And I think that's what happens in grief, especially unexpected
mm-hmm.
grief. Like, out of the blue, these young people in the
mm-hmm.
beginning of their lives should not be dying.
Right.
And so it happens, and everyone is affected.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen, like, families completely shift, you
yes.
know? Like,
yes.
talking about, like, you know, you not having that relationship with
yeah.
your grandparents anymore. It's like, like, personally, when my cousin passed away, I do remember seeing my aunt and uncle and how hard it was on them. And,
mm-hmm.
and something I think I even talked about on another episode is, like, my uncle's hugs, like,
mm-hmm.
changed. Like, he gives the best hugs now because I think he just really, like, appreciates you and just wants to show you how much he loves you, you know, because
mm-hmm.
you just never know. And some, it might be something like that was a positive thing.
Yeah,
like, he
yeah.
gives the best hugs, but sometimes it's not always positive.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it really, really, like, tear families apart, unfortunately.
Kind of, yeah, like, an untalked about part of grief
mm-hmm.
that, like, there are so many different aspects of it to, like, you're losing them, but it's, like, it expands so much more than that.
Right.
So it's heartbreaking all around. It is sad what it does to families in the immediate sense and in the not immediate sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It really is. And so even after, like, having to go through that and losing your house and losing, I mean, essentially this other side of your family,
yeah.
not just your dad. I mean, I commend your mom for having that kind of resilience and being able to still give you guys, like, this, like you said, this awesome childhood still.
Yeah, my mom's amazing. She, like I said, as moms now, I could not imagine. She was really a wonderful, wonderful person, a great example of a mother, a single mother, a woman, you know, what it means to be a strong woman, a resilient woman, a good wife, a good mother.
Did your mom date after losing your dad?
She didn't. She didn't date.
She didn't?
She, the way my mom talked about my dad, even after she passed, and, like, my husband noticed this, too, it was, I don't want to say it was like he was still around, but she spoke to him like she was still so fond in love. She was still in love with him. She was never not in love with him. Mm-hmm. She would be like, oh, and your dad did this, you know, like he was in the other room. You know, like he was still mm-hmm. so much a part of our life. Mm-hmm. And I think to her, like, dating would have been a betrayal because it was just like, she's still mm-hmm. married to my dad,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And I remember after I was going through some of her things, I was like, she had like a box of journals, and I had just happened to open to this page, and it was right after my dad had died, and she was writing about how she was like, she was thinking she was gonna die. She's like, I can't live without him, and God wouldn't keep me on this earth without him. You know, she was so in love with him that she could imagine life without him. Mm-hmm. And so she never dated. She did say that once we got older, she might, you know, but she was so, I think, concerned about making sure Aubrey and I were okay mm-hmm. that she never dated.
I mean, honestly, I can relate with that a lot because I thought the same thing, just like how do you even begin yeah. dating or even think about dating?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just hard. It's just hard regardless.
Yeah. And I mean, as we got older, it was really cool to see like a shift in her kind of go back. I don't want to say go back to the way she was, but like you could kind of, something about my mom is she was so joyful. I had always, even as an adult, I was like, I don't understand how you can be so happy and kind when like, your husband died, you know, like mm-hmm. why are you so joyful? And as we got older, I saw her like personality really come out, and mm-hmm. she really loved the outdoors. She really loved helping others and serving others. That was like a huge thing with her. She like my dad would take us out to, we'd be making meals for the homeless all the time, even as young kids, and I'm like, this is not safe, but we were doing those things. And she, as she got older, she was really into hiking, and it was so great to see her like get to do these hobbies. Mm-hmm. She was like really healthy and really into these like climbing mountains. She had like she was in this club, and she had climbed, I don't know, all the peaks in California, which is a lot. Uh-huh. Which is intense too, because I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
I was super surprised. She got like a cool shirt, and I was like, wow, that's really great for you at your age. Not, she was very old, but I was like, that's impressive.
Yeah.
And she had just climbed Mount Whitney for like the second time, and I remember she had a really hard time with it. And which she was surprised. She came back and she was like, you know, it was really hard. She was like, there were times she's like, I didn't think I was going to make it. She was like, I genuinely didn't think I was going to make it. She was like, I remember praying to God to get me off this mountain to see you and Aubrey one more time because I didn't think I was going to make it.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I just remembered yeah. that, thinking that she had told me that. And at the time, I was like, oh, my gosh, my mom's so dramatic.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, I was like, Mom, you're going to make it a mountain.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. And after she came off the mountain, she definitely was like, I'm going to go to the doctor. And when I remember they called me at work, and she was just coming out of the procedure, and my sister had picked her up, and they were like, oh, she has cancer. And I was like, who said that? I was like, I just did not believe it. I was like, my mom is so healthy. I was like, she doesn't smoke, she doesn't drink. I was like, she's like a high altitude hiker.
Yeah.
I was like, who told you that, Aubrey? And she was like, the doctor told mom. And I was like, no. I was like, no, I'm gonna call the doctor, you know. So I called the doctor. And
how old were you at this point?
I was 30, so this was about 4 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Aubrey was about 27.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, yeah, it's cancer. And I was like, how can you say that? Don't you need to test? And he's like, no, I've done this for a long time. Like, and it's cancer. He's like, I know it's cancer. And so we were all really shocked. I mean,
what kind of cancer did
she have? It was colon cancer.
Okay.
Which we were really shocked, and they were like, it's stage one, you know, like the prognosis for stage one is great. Like, so we were kind of like, okay. And I remember my sister and I, they're like, okay, we're just going to remove the tumor. It's Cedars. And so we had taken her down there. And it was just me and my sister. This was during COVID, so there was barely people anywhere.
Gosh, yeah.
And we were sitting in the surgery room. And I remember we were just, like, talking like normal because they had just told us it was going to be, like, a normal procedure. They were going to remove this one tumor that she had, and she was going to be fine. And the surgeon comes out, and Aubrey said, she was like, I could tell it was bad right away because I could see the surgeon. And I was like, I didn't know that. And the surgeon came up to us and was like, it's bad. It's really bad. It's late stage four. It's not what we thought. It's really bad. We're just like what? Like, what do you do in those moments?
Yeah.
You know, like, I remember thinking, like, oh, I need help. Like, someone help me. And there's, like, yeah. No one there for you, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember she's like, I'm sorry. Like, we're still in the surgery, but I wanted to come tell you, like, we're not going to be able to do the surgery like we thought. Like, we're just going to close her back up and then talk about what comes next. And I remember they're like, okay, she's in recovery. She hasn't woken up. Like, do you guys want to talk to her? Like, when she wakes up. And I'm like, oh, well, did you tell her this? Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, we haven't told her. And I was like, I don't want to tell her, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to tell her, like, and they're like, and she's probably going to sleep through the night, and the doctor's going to talk to her in the morning, but if you want to go see her when she's going to wake up. And I was like, well, what am I supposed to do? Just, like, tell her it went fine, you know, like,
yeah.
Or tell her. And they're like, well, that's up to you. Like, you, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I don't know what to do.
That's so hard. I'm so sorry. My gosh, yeah.
That was one of the, and I remember the doctor on call came in and was like, I'll tell her. She's not going to remember in the morning, but I'll tell her right now. And so he told her. She was really out of it. I don't think she understood. But I remember the next morning, the doctor came in and told her, and it was just me and my mom because they wouldn't let Aubrey up because of COVID. It was one person at a time.
Gosh.
And they were like, he came in and he was like, it's late stage four. It's late, like, and we're like, okay, well, what does that mean? And he's like, it's not good. He wouldn't say, like, but I just remember my mom started crying, and, like, I hadn't really seen her cry in a long time. I think now as a mom, like, I think back and I'm like, I think, like, the fear of leaving your babies here without you, even as adults, I'm like, she was afraid, and it was just a lot to take in.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was like a, just something, that was a really tough time.
Yeah.
And so she ended up, you know, they started chemotherapy, and it worked. And it all, the cancer had receded to something like 0%.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so what they said was, because it worked so well, she was in this pool for, like, a very high-risk surgery to remove, like, the tumor and everything. And so they did the surgery, and it went well, and she was fine, and we kind of were all really happy, you know, even through all that. I had never been like, my mom's not going to die, like, this is not going to happen twice,
right.
You know, like, it's rare to happen once, it's not going to happen again. And so we had never, like, that thought was so far removed from my mind. I was like, it's not going to happen. And I remember it was New Year's. She called me, and she was just like, I'm in so much pain. Like, and she was like, can you come to the house? And so I come over, and she's in a lot of pain. I'm like, okay, we need to go to the hospital. Like, if it's complication from the surgery. You know, she had this in, we take her in.
So it wasn't that long after the surgery?
No. So she had the surgery in July, and then, so we have July, August, September, October, November, December, January, about 6 months of, like, recovering from the surgery. She was in the hospital for about a month and a half, though, this for the surgery. So we had about 5 months where, like, we were thought we were in the clear, and, like, things were kind of getting back to normal. Mm-hmm. And so it was New Year's, and we're in the hospital, and they're like, you know, the type of cancer she has was not showing up on scans. That's why we were having these issues. It only shows up on a PET scan. And they don't have PET scans at the hospitals here. And so they're like, we did a scan, it's fine. And I was like, something's not right, mm-hmm. you know. And they're like, we're going to try to transfer her to Cedars, but it's COVID. So there's not a lot of transfers going in and out. So she stayed at that hospital for a couple weeks. And they transferred her to Cedars. And at this point, they weren't letting anyone up. So she had to go by herself. They wouldn't let anyone up to visit her. And I remember she called me and Aubrey, like, conference called, and was like, it's like the cancer's back. Like, they can't do surgery. There's nothing they can do. Like, kind of like telling us, like, she was like, this is what you guys can do if I die. Like, really just kind of like laying it out for us really quickly and briefly. And it was just like very surreal conversation.
Yeah, you're just like, you're in shock too, I'm sure. Like, yeah.
It was, I remember just like, it was very surreal. I remember even at the time thinking, like, okay, it's going to be fine. Like, that's how, like, far away. I was like, it's going to be okay. Like, just, tell your mom it's going to be okay. Like, and I remember, like, being like, okay, mom, like, I got it. It's going to be okay. And I remember my sister saying to my mom, like, no, like, I'm going to miss you too much. Like, don't, like, kind of, like, don't do this type of thing. And I remember, like, telling her, like, don't say that. Like, let her know it's gonna be okay. And
yeah,
so I remember just being, even in that moment, being like, it's not gonna happen, you know, it's fine. And I think my sister had a better idea of it than I did. And so that was like in January, and then she had they'd discharge her from the hospital, and the idea was that if she got better, they would try to start chemo again. But she was just so, at that point, so weak from the surgeries and everything that, like, she was not getting better. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of like a waiting period from January to April. It was like, is she gonna get better? Is she gonna get better? Is she gonna get better? And she didn't. She just kind of got worse and worse. And in about April, we had put her on palliative care, just because it was more than Aubrey and I could deal with. You know, we mm-hmm. couldn't. There's a lot of medications and a lot of things that we were just like, I can't do all this, and because you're still working, you still have to do all right. these things, and she.
Were your mom's parents around at all?
No. So my mom didn't really, my mom's dad lives in Oklahoma, so he was not really here ever. I never even met him. Okay. And then my mom's mom had passed maybe 2 years ago. So my grandma had passed a couple okay. years before this. So it was just me and my sister.
Yeah, that's really tough.
Yeah, it was really hard. It was, and like, talk about, like, you know, like, grief and things, like just, like, it's so hard to do when your sister's just, because you're like, it's just like, you do this, you do this, you do this. It's an unnatural way to, like, interact.
Yeah.
So it was just so difficult. And
gosh, that puts both of you guys in a really, really tough spot, not having your dad's family or your yeah. dad, and then now not have your mom not having much
support
either. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure that had to be really hard for you guys.
It was really hard.
Did you guys have any sort of support with you
we
two?
We had. My mom has two sisters, and they were helpful. They would come and, like, help when Aubrey and I couldn't be there, which was nice.
Oh, that's good.
Because, like, being a caregiver is really, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's really difficult.
Yeah, especially when you have to work and you have your own life.
You still have to live your life. Yeah. It doesn't stop. So that was, that's like the least of it. But
right. Yeah. You're like, I'm going to take care of my mom one way or another. Yeah. But yeah, it's just difficult regardless.
Yeah.
And when we put her in palliative care, she had a really rough couple days. And they were like, okay, we'll bring her in to Hoffman and we'll treat her there, because that's in palliative care, they treat them there, they don't take them to hospitals. Mm-hmm. And she was there, and that was Easter, so I remember we checked her in on Easter, and I remember she was still doing okay, she's walking around and we were talking, and I remember they brought like Easter dinner, and we had gone home because they were living in a rental at that time because her house had flooded one of the times we were in the she was in the hospital. So she was getting ready to move back home. That's what she wanted, to be at home. And so I was like, I'm going to go get the house ready, Mom, so you can go home today when they discharge you. And so I leave, my sister's there, and my husband and I are kind of like getting the house ready. And my sister calls us later that night and is like, hey, like, they're telling me you need to get down here right now. Like she's going to pass away. And I was like, what? Like, I was just there, and she was walking and talking, and so, like, we go down there, and she's not in a good spot, and like, I can tell that she's gonna pass, and she tells us she loves us, and I can tell it's really hard for her to say it. She says she loves us, and it's kind of one of the last things she says is, and so she's we're all aware that she's gonna pass. It's really rough, and I remember just like thinking to God, like, please God, like, help me, like, because I remember thinking, like, call 911, like do something, you know, like, this isn't how it's supposed to be, but like, there, I'm just like, fix, someone help. And so I remember just like praying, like, please tell me it's gonna be okay. Like, am I gonna be okay? Like, I don't know if I'm gonna be okay. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, it's late at night now. It's probably like 2-3 in the morning, and I'm like, I don't think I'm gonna be okay. And I remember thinking, like, it's the 18th, and I remember being like, oh, you know, it's the 18th. I was like, this is the day that my dad passed, like, this, the same day. And I was like, and I, at that same moment, at that same
moment. Same date.
That's like, I felt like the same moment I like was praying, like, God, please tell me it's going to be okay. Like, please tell me my mom's going to be okay. Like, please tell me I'm going to be okay. Like, I realized, like, okay, like, it's the same day, like. And it just, like, I had this feeling, like, oh, they're together, Leah, look. Like, look, your dad's waited for your mom.
That was your sign.
Like, here it is. Like, look, I'm showing you. Like, they're together, and they're okay, and it's going to be okay. And I was like, okay. I was like, okay. They're together, and they're okay. I mean, I can do with the rest. Like, I can live with myself. I can live with it. And so that was kind of. Thank you. I remember, and it was like 3 a.m. I was like, how do you even know what day it is?
Yeah.
But, it's just a crazy thing, I think, that I felt. It gave me a lot of peace in that moment, in a non-peaceful moment.
I know. I feel like, man, you just, like, needing any sort of confirmation.
Yeah.
Like, God, please just tell me that I'm going to be okay. And then you have that realization that it's the same day that your dad passed away.
Yeah.
That's my first thought is, oh my gosh, he gave you a sign that they're together and that she's at peace and she's finally with her love.
You know?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. That's the way to... So...
Gosh, that is so hard.
I realized, like, to the day, I was like, to the day, like, of all the days,
Yes.
I was just shocked.
I mean, yeah, and that's like, you know, with the dates, dates are just significant. You know?
They are.
And yeah, like, and I'll say it again, I've talked about it before, but my friend Ashley, she passed away in October 29th of 2003. And then my water broke like literally at midnight, October 29th of 2022. And that's when I had Brooks.
Stop.
Yeah. So that was like, for me, like confirmation that I was supposed to have my son and we were supposed to, he was supposed to be here for me, you know, I'm supposed to be there for him. It was just meant like this little boy was just meant to be like my little savior, you know,
supposed to be there for, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, when you said that about dates, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, and same thing. Okay. Let me bring Caleb back into it. I feel like I keep bringing my friend Caleb into it, but, his dad passed away when he was 2 months old. His, stepdad, met his mom because his wife had passed away as well. And they met, and both of their significant others passed away on the same day.
No way.
Yes. Same exact day. And then now that, then they got married. So it's like, yeah, then
they were meant.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I'm saying dates are just very significant. I feel like it's like little, however anyone wants to think about it, it's fine. But for me, I just take them as little confirmations of,
yeah, it was meant to
yeah.
be.
Yeah. Really as terrible as that terrible sounds.
It is. Yeah.
But it gives you at least some sort of peace and like comfort. Like, yeah. You know, I don't know.
No,
that's how I took it, you know.
Oh, it's that's like, how I took it.
I mean, right away, like when my water broke, I mean, I even knew, like when I got like my due date, when they told me my due date, it's like, oh my gosh, he's going to be born on the day that Ashley died. I just like had this feeling. And the fact that I got up at midnight and my water literally broke right at midnight. Like, oh, I was gosh. Just like, okay, well, I guess I'm supposed to have Brooks on this day, you know? And so, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just these little things that I've found comfort in.
That yeah, I do feel like very comfortable. Just in peace, like so much peace, like immediate peace, I would say, in the moment when I needed it. Because I was like, I remember thinking, if this room was on a cliff, I would open the door and jump off the cliff. Because I was like, I do not want to be in this room. I do not want to live through this.
Yeah.
And
it's tough.
So I was like, this is, it was such an immediate knowledge too. It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. For some, in that point in time,
yeah.
The thought of when your dad passed and the yeah. date comes into your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was planted there on purpose. I feel like you have like really held yourself together very well too, and
thank
just
you
just in talking about it too. I'm like, how am I more emotional
no.
than you are telling this story?
I tried really hard. I actually was like crying this morning. I was like, think about the parts that you're gonna cry about and cry now.
Hey, you know what, that's a great thing though. I've yeah. had to do that sometimes where I'm like, I know I'm going to work and I'm just sitting here thinking about Kyle and I get it all out and then I go to work and I'm like, hi guys, you know,
right?
You got your smile on, you know.
Part of it, I my mom's funeral, I was like, breathe this until you don't cry. It's like all morning I was reading it and I was like, okay. And then when I read it to funeral, I didn't cry.
So. There you go. Yeah. Sometimes that's just, you got to get it out at some point.
Yeah.
So get it out before so you can talk. But anyways, I really do. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you.
Because I know how hard it is. Well, one, to talk about how your dad passed away. And I know it's not something that was talked about often with you. And then just, I don't know, this ending is just, these dates, like, they really get to me. But I just, yeah, the fact that you got your little sign that your parents are together.
Thank
I think
so
that's
much.
Really sweet.
Thank you so much.
Sweet, you know, like, like, I mean, like, it's a kind of a weird thing to say. It's sweet, but I mean, it is in a
it is,
weird way.
It is, and I full heartedly know that they're together now, you
yeah.
know, and it gives me a lot of peace. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of Shattered Silence. As always, don't forget to follow us on all of our socials on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. You can watch full episodes on YouTube, and you can also listen in on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.